A mix of sun and clouds, a 30% rain chance, and a high near 80. It's 77 right now in Jacksonville. You're on Talk Radio WBOB with Bill Hay, and I'm speaking plainly right now.
The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
1.7 billion were there for his birth. 220 countries tuned in for his first step.
Woohoo!
The world stood still for that stolen kiss. And as he grew, so did the technology. Broadcast live and unedited to an audience around the globe.
Cool, man.
Coming to you now, enclosed in the largest studio ever constructed, and along with the Great Wall of China, one of only two man-made structures visible from space. Now, it's...
I'm speaking plainly with Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville, and welcome to another edition of I'm Speaking Plenty. I'm your host, Bill Hay, and joining me over in Master Control, pushing all the buttons and sliding all the slides to make me sound like I know what I'm talking about, Tom Murphy. How you doing, buddy?
Good, yourself. You know what you're talking about anyway. I don't need to be here, but...
You have to be here because they're the first voice that they will hear when they call in tonight. 222-TALK, 222-8255. You know, going into June starts the eighth year, finishes the seventh year doing this show. Very few times have we ever done just an all-out show where it's 3 hours of listening to Bill Hay rant on and on. But this happens to be one of them tonight. A lot of people are engrossed in other things. Several of the folks that are normal contributors to the show have other arranged plans to do a weekend Valentine's Day celebration with their loved ones, and I can understand that completely. But we have a lot to talk about. We have a lot of headlines to go over, a lot of things happening in our city. So I've tried to break it up tonight a little bit about city and then state and then national, so 6, 7, and 8. And move forward from there. We can go in just about any direction you want to go in. All you have to do is pick up the phone and dial 222-TALK, 222-8255. I'm looking to you to set the tone of the topics that we start out with. Doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to stay on them, but we can start and go in that direction. So I'm expecting to hear from George and Marty and Blake and all of the regulars out there tonight. But I guess I'll kick things off by talking about the new Anna Brochet commercial. I just saw it for the first time myself this morning, and I guess it started airing yesterday. And it's a commercial that hearkens to me the same way that I have been preaching for months, if not years, every time an election cycle comes up, for a candidate to talk about the positive things that they bring to the table instead of all the negative things that their candidate does. And so Ms. Brochet leads off this particular commercial with wise information that many of our parents have told us over the years, or at least my generation of parents have mentioned to me, and that is, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. And that's how she starts this commercial, and it's refreshing. It is nice to see a candidate talking about what she or he is going to do instead of dragging up skeletons out of their opponents' closets. And I have a feeling that it's going to get considerably worse before it gets any better. The first election, what's called the first election, because this is a unitary election, all candidates vote, and all candidates may be voted for regardless of party affiliation. And then if no one gets 50% plus one in the mayoral race, it'll go to a runoff, which will occur on May the 14th. With the ultimate victor taking office on July 1. So we've got that looking forward, or we've got that to look forward to. I don't believe that the incumbent in the mayor's office is going to take 50% plus one. I've been surprised before, but I just don't see it happening. I also think that we're not going to see a Donald Trump type move from any of the opposition that'll come forward and steal the show away from the incumbent right off the bat. I would like to see some more debates going forward, especially in the mayor's race. I'm not so much interested in having a debate among the candidates that are seeking other offices. There are quite a few offices up for election this term. There are city council members. There are supervisor of elections. Tax collector. I'm sorry. I got that confused. Is up. Sheriff is up. Property appraiser is up. All for election. Just to go down some of the highlights, obviously many of you know that Lenny Curry is seeking to retain his seat. Anna Brochet is challenging. Jimmy Hill is challenging. Omega Allen is challenging. Brian Griffin and Johnny Sparks, all write-ins, they're challenging. And then we have property appraiser. That's up for re-election. Jerry Holland is currently occupying that seat, and Kirk Kraft is a Democrat that is sought to run against him. And then, of course, sheriff, we have Dr. Tony Cummings looking to unseat Sheriff Mike Williams, who currently holds that office. Dr. Tony Cummings has run before and did not succeed. He has thrown his hat in the ring again. We're going to talk about this in the 7 o'clock hour, why candidates run, why candidates with very little name recognition run, and the easy, simple, obvious answer for that is that they're trying to build that name recognition. Tax collector, a name that you've heard, two names actually that you've heard quite a bit in local Jacksonville politics. John Crescenbinny on the Democratic side and Jim Overton on the Republican side. Jim just won this seat in a fill-in election that occurred less than 6 months ago, and now he's having to run for that seat to occupy it for a full term again. John Crescenbinny, a name known in Jacksonville politics on city council. This will be his first foray into something other than a city council position. And then the city council district one race, Bill Bishop is looking to unseat Joyce Morgan. There's a race that's interesting. I'm seeing Bill Bishop signs appearing all around town. He's been on this show. He's scheduled to be on this show again next Saturday night. He's going to sit down and talk to us about some of the things he'd like to see changed in the old Arlington area. But I haven't seen or heard much from Joyce Morgan. And that's interesting. I don't see any Joyce Morgan signs out. I did get a press invite to attend a Joyce Morgan town hall forum on the Arlington Expressway that's supposed to occur next week. And so I might find myself popping in there to hear what she has to say. Carson Tranquil, former sheriff's department officer, I think he was a deputy chief here in Jacksonville, is looking to unseat Al Ferraro in District 2. Scott Wilson and Tim Yost, Scott Wilson being the current holder of the District 4 seat, is challenged by Democrat Tim Yost. A lot of Democrat challengers this time around. Many are throwing their hats in the ring because we went light blue in the most recent governor and senator election. And that being said, there's a good chance that some of these seats will flip to Democrats in this election just to try and draw turnout. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not it neutralizes the turnout or energizes the turnout because there is no Democratic mayoral candidate. Let's go to Lori. Lori has an election question. Lori, welcome to I'm Speaking Plainly.
How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Good. I got a thing in my mail today, or this week, from David Taylor, who is running for District 12. Now, I know I hear the music, right?
Yeah, but you got a little bit of time. Go ahead.
Okay. It said that he following the resignation of Doyle Connor as District 12 councilman, I watch as David held to fill the vacancy, but the supervisor of elections did not call for a special election. I don't know what you know about it, but I was not aware of any of it.
Okay, well, I'm going to answer that question for you when we get back. Randy White also running for election in that seat against David Taylor. We'll talk about that when we get back,
Lori. Give me the background, if you would, so I
sure
can
know. We'll do it just as soon as we get back. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. Phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255.
Hi, it's Mac with Baker Glass. If you're having trouble finding a clear option for that new shower enclosure or a replacement for that fog glass, then call the Baker Boys or find us at BakerGlassInc.com. That's BakerGlassInc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better. Hi, this is Mac with Baker Glass, where we use our more than 32 years of experience to provide a complete glass service to all of our customers and a clear choice for you. See for yourself at BakerGlassInc.com. That's BakerGlassInc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Attention, all men. Have Viagra and Cialis let you down? Think your best days are behind you? Well, think again. If you suffer from any type of ED, regardless of your age or medical history, the doctors at Alpha Medical Group can help you now. There's no needles, no surgery, no medication. Just the newest available proven treatment from Europe using acoustic pressure waves. The FDA-cleared medical device regenerates blood vessels and erectile tissue in short in-office sessions. And it's all done with absolutely no needles, no surgery, and no medication. Call now for full information. Call 904-763-1400. 904-763-1400. The 100% natural, non-invasive way to fix erectile dysfunction. Call 904-763-1400 today and get your life back with Alpha Medical Group. Call 904-763-1400 or visit alphamedicalgroup.com.
Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, president of Conservative Theological University, invites you to expand your biblical knowledge and earn your certified AA through PhD degree with CTU. If you're considering ministry or if you're already serving in ministry, you should consider completing your studies with CTU, located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, in the Mandarin community. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for your interview appointment today. Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey,
hey, hey. That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville, and welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. My name is Bill Hay, and I'll be here with you until 9 o'clock tonight, as I have been with you for over 7 years now. Phone lines are open. I understand that somebody's being put in the queue as we speak, but going into the break, we were talking to Lori. Lori's a regular caller here to not only my weekday show, but the weekend show as well. She was discussing District 12 City Council in Jacksonville, with a race against a Republican David Taylor and Republican Randy White. So this district was originally held by Doyle Carter, and he resigned to run for another office. And in doing so, he had to give up that seat, and he was replaced by Randy White. Same as with the tax collector's position, Randy White has to run again to secure that for a full term. So Randy White is squared off technically as the incumbent against David Taylor. So Lori, those two Republicans will meet against each other in the District 12 race. And because there are no Dems running in that particular race, there is no third party candidate. It's more or less winner take all. Whoever scores the most votes in that particular district goes home a winner. Let's go back. We left off with District 6. Michael Boylan, you might remember that name from WJCT, the PBS station here in town, is running against Rose Connery. That's a district that's in the Mandarin area. and there is no incumbent. That district, I believe, if I have my numbers correct, is currently held by Matt Schellenberg. And so those two challengers, also Republicans. So whoever wins in that particular race will be declared the winner and walk into that office. District 7, Reggie Gaffney, Nashawn Nix, Solomon Olipade, and Charisse Riley. Four Democrats vying for that spot against Reggie Gaffney. Don't know me personally, any of the other names in that race, but they are all Democrats. So at that point, it would square off that if no candidate takes 50% plus one, then the two top vote getters would go at each other again in the general election for May the 14th. Now, here's an interesting race, and Tom, hang on for just a second. Let me finish this one out, and then we'll bring you up on the line. The District 8 race, this name, Katrina Brown, obviously has appeared in the newspaper quite a bit, currently under federal indictment. Tamika Gaines-Holly, Jacoby Pittman, Dialosoku Seabrooks, and Albert Wilcox Jr. There's a whole list of Democrats running in that race. Jacoby Pittman, appointed by the governor to fill that race when Katrina Brown was suspended and placed under indictment. The interesting thing about the way these elections run, Katrina's perfectly capable of filing to run for re-election. She was suspended from the current term that she was occupying, which is the term that's going on right now. That term ends June 30th. The new term starts July 1. So it is completely conceivable that at any time between now and July 1, if those federal charges are dropped, or if there is a negotiated withheld of adjudication, and Katrina Brown was by some strange way able to win this election coming up, even with the boat anchor of the federal indictment that she is currently wearing, she could fall out of that suspension midnight June 30th and step right into another term on July 1. It's kind of an interesting predicament there in that particular seat. Jacoby Pittman obviously is having to run to retain that spot. She came in and filled in halfway. The good thing about that, should Jacoby Pittman be elected now to fill a full term, she will then have an opportunity to run for another full term, which will basically give her two full terms and a piece and a little bit in this election. Let's go to Tom from Dinsmore and bring him on the line. Tom, welcome to I'm Speaking Plainly.
Good evening, Bill. I was concerned about the police department they're going to create for the school board.
Down in Clay County. Right.
And they done that to us here in Duval County. We didn't get a chance. What bothers me, things like that should be put before the people for a vote. Nobody, why does the school board need a police department when we have one? I'm just curious.
Okay. Well,
I don't understand it.
Tom,
I thought maybe you could clear it up for me.
Well, I don't know that I can, but hang with me for a minute and let's have a little tete-a-tete.
All right.
The Duval County School Board elected to have their own police officers on staff and develop their own department under the tutelage of the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office because the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office had developed a rate program, a charge program, for secondary employment for a lot of its officers. They were, for lack of a better word, renting officers to the Duval County School Board to use in schools. And that rate had to go up based on contract negotiations and some of the things relative to trying to dig out of the pension debacle. But hey, don't stand on the tracks by any chance, Tom. I can hear you. Don't stand on the tracks.
I can't help it. I'm over here by the switching station.
All right. Well, anyway, that's a great sound to hear in the background. It truly is a great sound. That being said, the school board decided to develop their own police department, and they actually used a double-edged sword for that. The first one was that they thought that having actual JSO officers patrolling the halls and interdicting on fights and things on campus might develop a stigma for the student carrying on into their life. They did not want to have every student arrested, every student thrown in the back of a JSO car, and they were thinking that that was the way that things were trending, that every fight required an arrest, every student that got out of line at school required an arrest, every student that was caught with some kind of contraband substance like a pocket knife or a bag of weed or pills at school required an arrest. And so they, a gun, we would want them to require an arrest on that. And in the 8 o'clock hour of the show, I've got some interesting stuff that the school boards all around the country are starting to do now. You're going to want to listen with respect
to
software.
Bill, I'm from the old school. I believe that the public schools are to teach a basic education and leave all the rest of this stuff
behind.
I mean, I just don't understand it. When did we lose control of the schools?
Well, the problem is we lost control of the students before we lost control of the schools. We lost control of the students by the fact that culture has, in my opinion, and in the opinion of many people who are my age or slightly older, or some young people that actually realize that things were better back in the old days, understand that when parents stopped disciplining at home and started using the public school system as really nothing more than a daycare, then that's when we lost control of students. When you see students disrespecting their parents or children disrespecting their parents at home, and if they're doing it to their parents, you can imagine how disrespectful they will be to folks that aren't even a member of their immediate family. Not even cousins, aunts, uncles, brothers, or sisters. They're just teachers.
No control from the family.
Right.
So now we're going to turn it over to the schools.
Well.
And we're not going to have any control. But look, I appreciate you talking about it. I don't want to take up all your time. I know you got important stuff. I hear where I live, we see a lot of them signs that you were missing.
Really? Joyce Morgan signs?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know why.
Well, that district flops over on that side of the river a little bit, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it does.
Know that.
Tom, thanks, buddy. I appreciate the call. You be safe out there. Avoid them trains.
Well, I'm not at home. I'm not.
Oh, Tom.
It'll be good.
All right, buddy. Take care, man.
Bye-bye.
I was about to lose him there because Tom was picking up another line. Did we drop? We dropped someone. Hello? Yep, we did. We dropped line two. If you were sitting there on line two waiting, please give us a call back. By hitting the wrong button, we ended up dropping. Tom and I have to work in synchronized, almost like synchronized swimmers, in order to be able to catch people on the line because of the way this phone system is a rollover. It's a new phone system that we've had about a year, and it's an interesting way. If he picks up the line the same time I do, you guys get cast off into Never Never Land, and we never hear from you. So if you were calling in on line two, please call back again. We've missed that opportunity to speak to you tonight. We're going in 100 different directions. We are going to talk about some of the murder rates being up here in Jacksonville. We're going to talk about this 14-year-old and the 24-year-old that were killed, not in a random shooting either, at a fight, at a park. There was a staged fight set up between two young African-American girls at a park, and apparently it turned into a spectator event, and some of the spectators brought guns with them, and in the process killed a 14-year-old and a 24-year-old father who has a 7-week-old baby. And so now that baby is without a dad. And my curiosity is, why would a 24-year-old man who just had a baby decide to go and be a spectator at a park where they're going to have a staged fight between two girls that had a disagreement? There's something seriously wrong with the thinking of people that believe that being at a fight and being an adult is one and the same, and it truly isn't. More from this when we get back. Phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. I'd like to hear from you. Please call in, and let's talk a little bit about the violent crime rate in Jacksonville.
Talk Radio. AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Ron DeRockstra. Police say a 15-year employee being fired from a manufacturing company just outside Chicago have killed five co-workers and wounded five police officers yesterday before he was fatally shot. Aurora, Illinois Police Chief Kristen Zeiman said the 45-year-old man was being terminated before he started shooting at the Henry Pratt Company, located some 40 miles west of the big city. The lawsuits are coming after President Trump declared a national emergency along the southern border, the president predicting his administration would end up defending it all the way to the Supreme Court. Nigeria's Electoral Commission says the presidential election there has been delayed until February 23rd over unspecified what they call challenges, amid reports that voting materials had not been delivered to all parts of the country. Both candidates in the election calling for calm. This is SRN News.
At AAMCO Transmissions and Total Car Care, we stay focused on just two things, our customers and our employees. I'm Dean Black, local AAMCO owner. Of course, there's nothing more important than taking care of every customer to make sure they get their repairs done right at the right price. And we can take great care of our customers because we hire great people and we treat them well. That's how we deliver extraordinary service to our customers. Visit any of our seven area AAMCO locations where we'll happily provide a free review of your repair needs. Looking for a new opportunity? Please apply. We're always looking for new professionals to add to our teams. And at AAMCO, you're off on Saturdays and Sundays to recharge and be with your families. Yes, AAMCO is a great place to do business because AAMCO is a great place to work. Find the AAMCO Transmissions and Total Car Care Center nearest you online, AAMCOJacksonville.com.
AAMCO, AAMCO Transmissions.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Saturday, February 23rd from 7:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Steps and Strides Against Breast Cancer at the Jacksonville Equestrian Center. Saturday, February 23rd from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. it's the Fernandina Beach Marketplace Farmers Market on North 7th Street in Fernandina Beach. And Saturday, February 23rd at 7 p.m., Jacksonville Symphony presents Star Wars: A New Hope at Jacoby Symphony Hall.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Single-family houses and apartments are the key to passive income, a.k.a. retirement. No one knows this better than America's most successful investor educator, national radio host, self-made multimillionaire, CEO, and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley. You've heard him and his team on the radio. Now join the Lifestyles Unlimited team on location in a city near you for the Financial Freedom Seminar. Check the schedule and claim your seats at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Limited seating, unlimited potential. Register today at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
Right now, if you're traveling 95 southbound in St. Johns County, you'll slow approaching the crash between State Road 207 and State Road 16. Cloudy tonight, low 61. Tomorrow, partly sunny, high 82. Tomorrow night, it'll be partly cloudy, mid-60s. And President's Day, a mix of sun and clouds, 30% chance of rain, and a high that day near 80. Right now, it's 77 at Talk Radio WBOB.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly. What you got to say? To join the conversation, call 222-TALK. Hey, hey, hey. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville, and welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. I heard a different little teaser section in there. You were getting ready to do something funky, weren't you? Nothing? No? No extra music?
Funky.
A little funky chicken? Remember that? Funky Chicken, there was Funky Monkey, there was all sorts of...
Oh, I know
remember
how to
all
do
those
all
old
those.
Disco songs?
Watch this.
No, answer the phone. I'm good with that.
Get a close-up on camera, too.
All right, so we're going to go back to this rundown because I've gotten a lot of comments off-air. People are enjoying that we're talking about all the races that are out here. We left off with District 8. That was the Katrina Brown race. Move into District 9, Garrett Dennis running for re-election against Marcellus Daniel Holmes III. Two Democrats running there. Whoever comes out on top walks away with it. District 10 is interesting. There's a whole bunch of people lined up for that race. Reginald Blount, Charles Edward Fetzer II, Celestine Mills, Kevin Rashad Monroe, and Brenda A. Priestley Jackson. One Republican squaring off against four Democrats. If one doesn't take 50% plus one, you'll probably see a runoff there between Charles Fetzer and Reginald Blount. District 12, we talked about, that's the replacement race that was Doyle Carter. Moving into District 14, Randy DeFore, Sonny Gettinger, Henry Mooneyhan, Jimmy Peloso, and Earl Testy. Earl Testy's he does a write-in for many races, especially those races in the District 14 area. There is no incumbent in that race. That's a term-limited race, or a termed-out race. The current holder of that district is not eligible to run again, so you'll get new blood in that area. At-large Group 1, same thing. Gary Barrett, Connell Kruels, Jack Daniels. I got to think about that. Yeah, Jack Daniels. Can't vote for you, Jack. You're in Group 1, but I certainly do drink a lot of your product. Terrence Freeman and Lisa King running for District 1 at-large. No incumbent there, and so therefore going to be new blood. Same with at-large Group 2, currently held by John Crescenbeny, who is running for tax collector. The two challengers in that group, Darren Mason and Ron Salem. This is going to be an interesting one to watch because Ron Salem is the cousin of a guy named Musa, Sam Musa, who is a longtime member of the government establishment here in Jacksonville. Chairman of Lenny Curry's transition team, and then, of course, moved inside the building to continue to work under Lenny Curry. And so now his cousin is seeking elected office, and so we'll watch that outcome. Ron Salem has an outrageous war chest of money. He started collecting probably close to a year in advance, sponsorships and guarantees, and then opened an account and really ran away. This brings up a subject that we will talk about when I get through going down this list, and that is the incredible amount of money that is put into these war chests for jobs that barely pay. For example, the mayor has close to $3 million in funds available for him to use to seek re-election, but the office itself pays between $151,000 and $181,000. So it's interesting why someone would pledge so much money to support a candidate that doesn't really make all that much money. So I'm really perplexed by that, and I'm perplexed by a lot of incredible salaries and incredible war chests for public office. When you donate that kind of money, sometimes in the case of $25,000, $50,000, when it's a corporate donation to a PAC, both of our mayoral candidates that are name holders in this race, Anna Broche has the New Day PAC, and Lenny Curry has Jacksonville on the Rise, I think, is the name of his PAC. And there's no limit to the contributions you can make to a political action committee. So it's another one of those fallouts from changing the election rules many years ago. Let's move on to at-large Group 3, Tommy Hazzuri, James Jacobs, and Greg Raquel, all running for that at-large seat. Tommy Hazzuri eligible to run for a second term. Hang on the line there, tow truck. I'll be right to you. And at-large Group 4, Matt Carlucci. There's an old Jacksonville name. His father, Joe Carlucci, was a long-standing member of city government here, squaring off against Harold McCart and Don Redman. Don Redman, also a longstanding member of the city council here in Jacksonville. So probably going to see a pretty significant race between Matt Carlucci with name recognition and Don Redman with name recognition. And then finishing out at large, Group 5, Nikki Brunson, no party affiliation, Chad Evan McIntyre, the Democrat, squaring off against Sam Nuby, the incumbent, Sam being the incumbent on the Republican ticket. So all of those races will be vied for on March 19th. And then those that don't take 50+1 or have a direct walk-in, then they'll be put up in the general election on May the 14th. Let's go to Tow Truck Mike. Good evening, brother. How you doing?
Man, I'm having a great day.
You are?
Yes, I am. Now, the honey's doing good, and we got a brand new puppy, and she's real happy with the puppy. So they're occupying each other, and I'm out here working.
What kind of puppy did you get?
I went to Clay County Animal Shelter and found
a
crossbreed. Yeah, I got a rescue. I got a wire-haired terrier mixed with an Australian Shepherd.
Oh,
and
my.
She's just a sweetheart.
that's a dog that's on crack cocaine all day long. How are you going to keep that dog under control?
She's mellow.
Really?
Surprised the heck out of her. She's just a puppy, and she's mellow. She'd just as soon be on my honey's lap.
Wow.
So,
okay, well.
Yeah, we got lucky.
All right, yeah, now, you did. So you got a statement here on the computer. It says you got info on the school board in Clay County. Tell me what info you got.
I've been in Clay County for a long time now, and I've watched the school board and how it works. What we're seeing right now with them wanting to develop their own police force is a power play. It's strictly, purely a power play, how to get the money that the state is throwing into the school system and how to control what's going on in the schools. We've had a power-hungry school board for the last 15 years. Well, I was hoping this last election would change it. I did everything I could do because there's a clique that's in there, and it's right with the superintendent, and this is purely a power play. They want to control the funds that are coming from the state for law, for safety for the children. That way they dictate what's going on. They don't want the sheriff involved. They keep on forgetting that all the crossing guards are county employees, and then you've got your school deputies, and those are Clay County. So they're going to have to replace all the crossing guards. They're going to have to replace all the law enforcement in the schools. They're going to go to a superior or a substandard police force because they don't have anybody to do the training. They can hire them in, but if they're going to do the same equal amount of money as the county sheriff's office, they're going to have to step up to get somebody capable of running the department, and then they're going to have to figure out what to do with crossing guards. And basically, they want the money that's coming from the state in control of the school board. They don't want the sheriff to have it. They want to be in control. It's a power play.
Hmm. Well, there's a lot of power exchanging hands back and forth in this particular election, especially up here in North Florida. And
yes,
I'm concerned, as is Sheriff Daryl Daniels. I wish I should have contacted him tonight and asked him to call in. He's standing ready to offer them any kind of help that he can now that they've elected to go forward with this. He's trying to convince them that, you know, developing a police force it's not just about electing or developing something that can travel around the schools and walk in the hallways, but sometimes there has to be an investigative end to law enforcement that isn't always
Agreed.
That isn't always done as part of an 8-to-5 job. And he's standing ready to help them build a skeleton by which they can build their department on, but he is actually trying to convince them that, you know, this is a lot more than just picking out a style of uniform and putting some vinyl decals on some cars and boom, now you've got a police force. There's training that's involved. There is force multipliers that are involved with confronting a situation and de-escalating a situation. And it's going to be on a learning curve. And I hate to see that it's going to be on a learning curve at the expense of students that attend Clay County schools. I have
agree.
A feeling that they have bitten off a lot more than they can chew in Clay County. Mike, take it easy tonight. A lot of people that are going to be acting crazy, especially those that are going out for food because they're watching the races and they think that they're the next NASCAR driver or the next ARCA racer or truck driver out there. So stay healthy and stay safe, my friend.
I will, sir. Have a great night.
Same to you, buddy. once again, Tow Truck Mike out there helping people out on the side of the road when their cars broke down. Remember, move over or slow down 10 miles an hour. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill Hay. We're going to step away for a minute. We'll be right back.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Attention, all men. Have Viagra and Cialis let you down? Think your best days are behind you? Well, think again. If you suffer from any type of ED, regardless of your age or medical history, the doctors at Alpha Medical Group can help you now. There's no needles, no surgery, no medication. Just the newest available proven treatment from Europe using acoustic pressure waves. The FDA-cleared medical device regenerates blood vessels and erectile tissue in short in-office sessions. And it's all done with absolutely no needles, no surgery, and no medication. Call now for full information. Call 904-763-1400. 904-763-1400. The 100% natural, non-invasive way to fix erectile dysfunction. Call 904-763-1400 today and get your life back with Alpha Medical Group. Call 904-763-1400 or visit alphamedicalgroup.com.
At Underwoods, we know what it takes to be one of the South's most trusted jewelers. Our reputation was made by carrying the finest quality. I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods, and we're proud to bring Forevermark diamonds to North Florida. Only 1% of the world's diamonds are eligible to become Forevermark. They're the world's most carefully selected diamonds that you can be proud to give and wear forever. The Forevermark icon invisibly inscribed on each diamond is proof of the Forevermark promise that each diamond is beautiful, rare, and responsibly sourced. Their exceptional beauty is unleashed by the world's finest craftsmen using skill and artistry passed down by generations. Forevermark diamonds benefit the communities from which they're sourced and are individually cared for from the mine to her finger. Underwoods is Jacksonville's authorized Forevermark jeweler, so make the right decision and come by Underwoods in San Marco, Avondale, and the Shops of Ponte Vedra.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville, and welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. Phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. I am absolutely amazed and truly blown away. I've been spending some time off air tonight. In the breaks, reading over the campaign treasurer's reports for Jacksonville on the Rise, the official political action committee that supports Mayor Curry. I'm going to be in the next break looking up the New Day PAC that is supporting Anna Broche and some of the things that she does. I am blown away at the size of some of the checks that are being written by people that I know to support this pact. $50,000 here, $25,000 here, just absolutely amazing. The level of private income that flows into these PACs to an extent that you can just sit at home one night around your kitchen table in Ponte Vedra or Queens Harbor or Marsh Landing or wherever you happen to live, and you just decide, you know, I think I'm going to support this pact, and you get out your checkbook and you stroke a check for $50,000. And just to me, I as much as I love politics and I love being out here talking with you about it every week And now on the weekdays, I just can't imagine that anything is worth that. It just blows my mind, some of the dollar figures that are thrown around to support candidates for positions that don't pay anything close to that by the year. I mean, you're looking at positions that pay anywhere from just under $100,000 to just under $200,000, but yet you've got millions of dollars being thrown at campaigns to get these people elected, and I have to ask why. Is there some guaranteed return on investment, or are folks that support these campaigns just so well off that they play it like they're playing the horses at the track? You know, I'm going to bet on this guy, and I'm going to bet him to win. And in the case of Shad Khan, who makes donations to multiple different campaigns, in some cases to opponents against that are running against each other, it's almost like he's hedging his bets. He's betting on horse one and betting on horse two at the same time. But to have that kind of superfluous income just completely blows me away. So let's talk for a minute. What do you think, if you've got an idea, what do you think the topics of the mayor's race should be coming up? As a citizen of Jacksonville, what would you like to see them focus on? You know, we've already talked about the idea that we'd like to see candidates talk about themselves and what they bring to the table instead of chastising what the other guy doesn't do or what he may have done last week while on the golf course or last year, or in the case of some candidates like Brett Kavanaugh, what they did when they were in law school 40 years ago. Is the day over when a candidate will step up like they used to do back in the old days, cut down a tree, they'd walk into town? I don't know if many people understand this if you're not a history buff. You know, back in the old days that you'd have candidates that were running for office and they'd travel from town to town and they'd talk about themselves and why they were running for territorial governor or why they were running for sheriff. And back in the day, you know, you might be the sheriff of an entire territory. You might be a marshal of an entire territory, not just one town. So they would travel and try and garner votes that would be dropped into wooden boxes and then carried by a stagecoach to the seat of a particular state. And they'd be counted, and then the results of those would be posted on the wall, and then the winners would be declared a couple of weeks later whenever the guy showed up on the horse with the results of the ballot. But when they were leading up to election, they'd literally go into town. You hear from time to time, and especially a few years ago, I ran a big political rally here where we got a chance to meet the candidates downstairs in the Salem Center. Had a packed house. All but a couple of candidates showed up, and it was called The Stump. And I selected that name specifically because of my history background. Candidates would come into a town, and they'd get permission, and they'd literally go, and they'd cut a tree down, a pine tree, ponderosa pine, whatever tree grew out west. They'd cut the tree down about 2.5 feet above the ground, and then they'd stand on the stump so that when the crowd from around the town gathered to see them, they'd be up above the crowd and the crowd could see them off in the distance. And it was called standing on the stump, preaching from the stump. And so back in the day, candidate would roll into town and say, you know, my worthy opponent would like to have this office, but I feel I'm more qualified, and here's why. And they would lay out all the reasons why they were more qualified. They didn't say, oh, my worthy opponent's not qualified for this office because he's a drunkard. He's a drunkard, or he's a card shark, or he's a debtor, or a womanizer. None of that. They told what was good about themselves. And over the period of time, 100 plus years or so, we've evolved downhill to a point where folks just want to talk about what the other guy hasn't done instead of what they're going to do or what they'd like to do or what they're capable of doing. I'd like to see more of that. I truly would like to see more of that going forward because it would give us a better idea of the quality of individual that we're electing. Now, it came up this week those of you that may follow politics about as closely as I do, or as closely as Ed Dean or any of the other folks here at this conservative radio station, Ron DeSantis, great guy, good guy, I like him. He seemed to, in an offhanded way, endorse a program that I'm going to talk about in the 8 o'clock hour. It's called BARC. There's also another program called Gaggle. And when I talk about a program, it's a program in and of itself, but it's also a telephone program or a computer program. It's software. It's software that's being used by several different school systems around the country and also being used by several different government agencies around the country. And just to give you a little teaser what it's about, it can monitor social media of anybody that has this program on the phone. And you can put that program on someone's phone without them even knowing about it. If you're a parent and you give your child a new phone because you've got a new family plan with whatever service provider you have, you can download BARC to their phone and they'll never even know it's on there before you give it to them. And what BARC does is it monitors their text messaging and their social media. It can even at certain times record their vocalized text messages. So if they're the kind of person that speaks to text, and it looks for keywords like bombs, guns, sex, depression, suicide, different keywords that might tend to trigger a reaction, meaning a student that may be talking about bombs might be thinking of planting one, or a student that might be texting about guns might be thinking of taking one to school. And so this is the ultimate in Big Brother. And it's Big Brother that's sanctioned by parents. And another program is sanctioned by school boards, where when you walk into the school with your phone, that phone signal can be interrupted by Gaggle. And when you're texting in between classes or maybe during classes or during lunch break, and you happen to text some specific keywords, that program can pick it up and send it to a school representative or to a parent, or in the worst case can send it to a police officer. And so are we not violating children's privacy? And I'll be the first one to say that a child under the age of 18 should have no privacy except privacy in the bathroom or in the shower or the bedroom or whatever. But it bothers me that Big Brother has gotten so big and so fast and has incurred itself into our daily life to a point where we may not have any control. We may go down a slippery slope so quickly that we start sliding under uncontrollably. And at some point in time when we start putting this software or allowing it to be put on our phones, we might get to a point where we have no control on what the government does put on our phones. And I think we should be more concerned about that. We have a lot of mass shootings going on. We had one going on yesterday in Aurora, Illinois. How much does that really, how much should we really trigger a response to that? We have a nut job who obtained a gun illegally, who carried a gun illegally, who walked into a place of business that he had been at for 15 years with the idea that he was going in to be terminated that day. Now, that must have been one heck of a great job that he wanted to kill people instead of losing his job, and ultimately lost his job and lost his life at the same time. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill Hay. Phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. Dana, call back. We dropped you. Sorry, buddy.